I see Bobby and Susan and Mary. I see Clifford and Alex and Moisha. I see Fred and Louie and Zoe. How are all of you today?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I see Becky and Jody and Murray.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I see Noel.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. My name is Ron Van Dam, and the name of the program is... Great name for a program, only I don't know how to spell it. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, did you hear the show today? What show are you talking about? Oh, what a great name for a show. Hi, I'm Ron Van Dam. Welcome to... How do you spell that? U-G-H-H-H-C-C-C-H... Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you today on the... pleasure to be with you on the program today. Welcome to... I'm Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for being here. You look fat. You look fat today. Don't even ask me if you look fat, because you do. I have, for 4 days in a row... by four different people, I've been asked the question, do I look fat? Four different people, three females and one male. And of course, the answer is yes, but not obesely, disgustingly gut hanging over your clothes fat. Just a little bit of, I wouldn't even call it fat. I'd call it an extension of stomach love. But they all think that they're fat, and fat isn't the word. Expansive, perhaps. Larger than life. Chunky monkey. Even I look at myself every once in a while and say to myself, oh my goodness, I look fat. But when you ask that question of another person, you are not expecting them to say, why, yes, you do, my God. You don't expect that. You expect the other person to say, oh my goodness, you don't look fat at all. You're crazy. You look wonderful. I've never seen a body so perfectly formed. Why, I believe that the deity carved you out of soap. You are just so perfect body-wise. Perhaps personality-wise, you're an asshole. See, people are very, very one-dimensional, very superficial. All they care about is, do I look fat? And the answer is, yes, you do. You do. Why'd you bring that up? You look extraordinarily ridiculous. But nobody ever says to me, Ron, am I an asshole? And of course the answer is yes. You're not only an asshole, you're a fat asshole. Stop asking me questions about yourself like that if you don't want to hear the answer. And by the way, I may not think you're fat, and I may not think you're an asshole, but I'm not going to pass up that opportunity of saying that to your face, because you've given me the opportunity to do that. How often in life does that happen? Where someone poses a question to you and you can actually respond to it in a manner of speaking. I think it's wonderful. Thank you for asking. That's what I should say. Hey, Ron, do you think I look fat? Thank you for asking. Not only are you fat, but you're a fat bitch.
Oh, what?
I didn't ask you if I was a fat bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was the follow-up question. I am sorry. Oh, I apologize for calling you something that you didn't want to be called, but you asked me anyway. Don't ask me questions. Don't ask me things that you don't want to hear. Ron, do you think I'm attractive?
No.
Of course not. You're not attractive at all, 'cause you're fat. And you're an asshole. No, you're not attractive. As a matter of fact, I don't know how I even look at you. When I'm talking to you, my eyes are darting around to the point where I'll look at anything but your face. 'Cause it's ugly.
What? You think my face is ugly?
Yes. You brought it up. I wasn't going to say anything.
Ron, do you think I'm a good person?
No, not at all. I never did. What gave you the impression that I thought you were a good person? You're terrible. You're going straight to hell in about 6 minutes. No, you're not good. You're not good at all.
In my opinion, ask other people if you're a good person. I don't think you are. Now, that's just my opinion. Not only are you not a good person, but you're an asshole and you're ugly.
Ron, do you think that I serve a purpose in life?
No, you serve no purpose whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you get in the way of things that do have a purpose.
When I take a picture of you, it ruins the background. No, you have no purpose. As a matter of fact, your only purpose is to get in the way of other things. You're a roadblock. That's what you are. That's your purpose. You're a roadblock. You get in the way of everything. Nothing can get by you. You're too fat anyway.
Well, thanks for being honest with you.
You're welcome. No problem. Now, have I told you everything that you didn't want to hear?
Well, Ron, I'm sorry I asked you.
That's what I wanted to hear. Now I will tell you honestly, you're not fat. You're not an asshole.
Well, I don't know, we can argue that, I suppose. You're a good person. You're attractive. That's the way I really feel. What I did there was I felt like a free-range chicken when you asked me those questions. I felt like a chicken that had been cooped up in a coop. I use the verb and the noun together in the same sentence. I was cooped up in a coop as a chicken. And what you did was you opened up the gate to the cage, and I was allowed to roam freely across the range. So as long as you're going to open that door, as long as you're going to slip open the lid of Pandora's box, I have no choice, is to engage in this wonderful exercise. So in the future, don't ask me questions like that ever, ever again. You think that you're putting me in a position of awkwardness so you can solicit a positive comment? Not with me, brother. Not with me, dude. Sorry. You got the wrong person. Yeah, you know, you are a little fat anyway. I mean, seriously, you could stand to lose a few pounds. It's so difficult for me to relate to other people because you all, you're just kind of all the same. And I guess I'm part of that too, but do you agree with me? Do you think that people really are getting just kind of tired and that your relationship with animals is far superior? Do you feel like you'd rather spend time with your dog than with another human being? Be honest with me. Do I look fat? What? Do you ever wonder why dogs and cats don't have big boobs? Because women, you know, are judged sometimes by the size of their boobs, as men are sometimes judged by the size of their penis delecti. It's the Latin word for penis. But cats and dogs, you know, I've never seen a prolific dog with a gigantic schlong. And I've never seen a cat or a dog, a female cat or dog, with large D-cups. I've just never seen a dog go in for breast reduction. Did you ever look at a chicken breast lying in a pan? Don't they look like breast implants? They do to me. Admit it. Come on, admit it. Raw chicken breasts look like breast implants? Yes, yes, yes they do. Why would a man take a picture of his penis and then distribute it on the internet? Why? What would possess somebody to take a photograph of their private parts and distribute it amongst those that totally don't care? I think we owe an apology to whoever came up with the concept of selfies, that someone has bastardized your incredibly wonderful idea by taking pictures of their own penis and sending it out to people. I apologize on behalf for them. If you said to me, Ron, what's the one thing in life you will probably never do? My answer would be to photograph my own penis. I don't think that will ever happen, and I don't think I would let anybody else do it. And I'm not talking about porn movies or anything like that. If someone came up to me with a camera and said, oh my God, it's Ron Van Dam. I listened to your show. I used to watch your show on TV. Can I take a picture of your penis, please? I would probably say no. I would prefer that you don't, because that's private property. As a matter of fact, my penis is intellectual property. That's how smart it is. And you can tell it's smart because I'm telling you that it is. See, that should be the name of the show. Ron, what's the name of the show that you do every weekday? Are you responding to my question, or is that the name of the show? No, that's the name of the show. I just don't know how to spell it, so I have to do that every time you ask me. Yeah, seriously. Hey, we're going to talk to some people today. I've got a few guests lined up as the show progresses, if you can consider this progression. I think that's fantastic. There's some serious topics that I could discuss with you right now that are on my mind, but to be honest with you, not in the mood, not in the mood. If you want to listen to serious topics, you can listen to every type of radio show other than this one, where they're just going to talk about the serious stuff going on, even on Sirius Radio. I mean, it's not spelled the same way, but that whole network is Sirius. Seriously? That would be a great tagline for Sirius Satellite Radio, wouldn't it? But they didn't do it. They didn't pick up on it. I would do Sirius Satellite Radio, and then underneath the little tagline, seriously? Oh, I think that would sell. I really do. Have all these little teenagers, seriously, wow, that would be such a powerful campaign. Because people need to be reminded. I was watching television a few days ago. Actually, it was 20 years ago. Or did I ever? No, it was 2 days. It was 2 days ago. I was watching television, and I was watching some kind of stupid show. And then the commercials came on for about 3 minutes. And I'm watching the commercials, and I kind of all of a sudden had an epiphany. Can't spell it, but I had one. And that's, my epiphany was this. These advertisers are spending millions and millions, billions and billions of dollars in order to get me to buy something. And the joke's on them, because I so rarely am motivated to buy something that I see in a television commercial. They are wasting their money on me. Now, I don't know, I don't think most Americans are sitting on the couch watching a television commercial, and then they jump up and they go, honey, get my coat and get my keys, we're going to Sears. I don't think it works that way. As a matter of fact, many of commercials that I see on television, I don't even understand who the people are. They're humorous, there's a picture of a bus, but I don't know what the name of the company is. They're being very indirect these days. I don't think I've ever jumped up and said, oh my God, I've got to buy this product. It just doesn't happen. I think they're wasting a lot of our money. I was never so angry. Well, actually I was. I was quite angry when I had read in the paper that Comcast had purchased NBC Universal. That would be the entire television network, NBC, the National Broadcasting Company, not the National Biscuit Company, plus Universal Films, all of the Universal Motion Picture and Universal Television property, all purchased by Comcast with my fucking money. When I sit down now and I pay my cable bill, Comcast is my provider. They have the 2-hour window guarantee. If they fuck up my equipment for some reason, they'll tell me when they're going to show up. And if they don't show up within a 2-hour window, I get to smack them in the head. That's the guarantee. I get to smack the technician in the head. I love the guarantee. It's why I stick with Comcast. Anyway, when I sit down and I'm making out my check to Comcast on a monthly basis, I always get a little tinge of pissed in me. The nerve of these people taking my hard-earned money that I'm paying them every month, an extraordinarily large amount in my estimation, they take this money and they turn around, they don't pay their employees with it, they don't give me better cable service, they go buying television networks and entire movie studios. I don't like it. And then here locally in the New England, Boston area, they got the naming rights to an outdoor concert facility. It's called the Comcast Center, and various celebrities and artists and musicians do concerts there, but it's called the Comcast Center. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, naming rights, you spent money, Comcast, to get the naming rights, my hard-earned money, this is what you're doing with it. How about this idea, Comcast? How about you don't buy NBC, you sell that. How about you sell your Universal, you sell all your naming rights, and how about instead of spending all my money that I'm paying you, why don't you not buy these other companies, not spend this other money, and lower my prices? How about the concept of lowering my prices? Anybody ever come up with that before? Any company ever say to themselves, how can we corner the entire market? How can we be the largest cell phone company, the largest cable company in the entire United States? What can we do that would guarantee us that we would grab every single living customer in this hemisphere? And you know what the answer is? Announce that you're lowering your prices. We admit that we've been fucking with your money and buying shit. We are not going to do that anymore. That means that when you pay us, we're going to have more profit for us executives of Comcast. We're going to make more money. But as we're not going around buying movie studios and television networks, we're going to lower the cost of your cable bill. What? Yes, Comcast is announcing that your cable bill will go down approximately $30 a month. No reason, just because we love you. You have paid so much money to us. We are the assholes of the universe. We're not going to be assholes anymore. We are lowering our bills $30 across the board every single month. Now, this isn't true. They haven't said it. They never will. They will always do the opposite. Every year we are raising your bill. So that is not the truth. But it is an idea where every single customer would become a Comcast customer. If there was a cell phone company that said, hi, we're AT&T. We do stupid commercials on television. We spend a lot of money doing stupid commercials. And actually, people are leaving our service faster than they're joining it because we all do it for prices. You don't care what kind of commercials we do. Apparently, you only care about how much you pay for your cell phone bill every month. So we here at AT&T are just going to stop doing that. We're going to lower your bill by $20 a month. Everybody would switch to AT&T. Tomorrow, the computers would crash. They wouldn't have enough people to answer the phones. You'd be on hold for customer service for 3 days because they said, we're sorry, but we have an overload of customer service questions. Everybody would switch to AT&T if they were the cheapest and said, look, we're just going to cut your bills in half. That's all. And you don't have to, you know, we're just doing it. AT&T did not say this, but I'm saying if they did, everybody would switch over. You make money these days by volume, not by price, because nobody wants to spend any money. This is the longest recovery of any recession we've ever had in our history. Not that we're doing poorly as a country, but it's just taken a long time. So people are still very, very dollar conscious. That's why there are dollar stores. And that's why dollar stores have become our new religion and our new churches. Look, Margaret, look what I got. I got a glass jar for a dollar. That's a beautiful glass jar. Where'd you get it? Dollar store. Wow. Dollar store is like heaven to most shoppers. They walk down the aisles. What can I get for a dollar? What did the Chinese people make that I can get for a dollar? It shouldn't be called the dollar store. It should be called the China store. Everything in it was made by some five-year-old sweatshop guy sitting in Beijing or something, 20 hours a day making glass jars so you can buy it for a dollar. You know it, I know it, but it works. We don't care. Do you remember there was this whole thing, buy American, I will only buy American-made things. Well, how much is that? It's this much money. Well, how much is the China stuff? It's practically free. I'm buying just China stuff then. I will only buy American-made cars. What kind of car do you have? Toyota. Kia. Actually, Toyota is one of the largest American car companies now, even though it's not an American company. It's a very confusing thing. It really is. I don't want to sound politically incorrect, but I'm just thinking I'm just going to marry a woman from China. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, why not? Why not? Why not just go whole hog? You know what I'm saying? Why not go whole hog? Ron, do I look like a hog? Yeah, you do. You do. You look like a gigantic hog. One of those large hogs that doesn't even fit through. You look like a hog. Yes, you do look like a hog.
Here's what the internet is good for. Porn. 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 Really weird porn. Porn. Funny cat videos. Porn. And the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, when you need a little break from all those funny cat videos. Those things can really do a number on your wrist.
Hey, it's time to find out what your horoscope is. Uh-huh. You betcha. It's very important. If you don't know what's in the cards for you, what's in the stars, I don't know how you can live your life.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity. But then I think I hear them giggling to each other, so maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD and get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer, when Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison. Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? Douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
When he was 25, speed jive, don't want to stay alive. When you're 25, and when it's getting close to Mars and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots for ripping up the stars, grab his face, skunky little bird.
Meredith Wild is going to join us now. She's an author, and she is wild, man. She is so wild. Meredith is wild. It's her name, Meredith Wild. Yeah, it's a cool name, isn't it? Huh? You like that name? Meredith Wild? Nice. She's written a series of books, and the books are a little steamy, baby. A little steamy, baby. You like little steamy books, baby? I like steamy books. Actually, I don't. But, you know, people do. People like porn and steam. They like steam rooms and watching porn. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
I don't know why I like that so much. I have no idea. It's just, I just can't imagine that there was ever a song that was titled Let's Talk About Sex. It's just weird. All right, let's talk to Meredith. Hey, Meredith, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, Meredith. Welcome to the program. This is part of the Hacker series, Meredith Wild, which is a very interesting series. It's a little steamy.
A little bit.
What gave you the idea of getting into this category of fiction?
Well, at the time, I had been reading a lot of romance, and I really enjoyed the genre, and I thought, you know, I'd take a stab at it and see if I could create a story that people would like.
Kind of worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, it did work out in retrospect.
Yeah. I mean, not only is it erotic in its temperature, but it also kind of brings you into different worlds using that theme. It doesn't just stay there. It goes all over the place, which is kind of nice.
Right. I mean, it's a lot more than, you know, the steamy part.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's a relationship between the two main characters and you follow their journey. But it's set in the tech world in Boston.
Yep.
So there's a lot of professional challenges. There's some politics. There's murder, betrayal. Yeah. There's some good stuff in there.
Well, there is murder and betrayal in Boston. There is. And congratulations on your success. You decided to self-publish the books. Why was that?
Well, at the time, I had been running my own tech company for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So I felt pretty comfortable with the marketing and the branding and, you know, all the different aspects of bringing a book to the marketplace. Yeah. So I just decided to give it a go on my own first.
Great. And that's the way, you know, that you should, I applaud you for that, too, because you shouldn't have to rely on these big money bag companies to be able to fulfill what you want. I don't like it when people are just at the mercy of other factions when they actually do have talent.
Right. I wasn't really willing to wait for somebody to give
good.
Me permission.
Good. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Waiting to get permission. Not the way it should be. Your character Erica is not a typical character as far as when things happen to characters in tales, they usually have to be naive in order to get involved in the situation, but not Erica.
Yeah, I mean, you could say sometimes she just catches some patches of bad luck and has to fight her way through it, but she's definitely not a wilting violet. She deals with issues head on. You know, sometimes she doesn't make the smartest decisions, and neither does the hero, but, you know, they figure it out.
Yeah. Now, this is the last book in the series, I understand?
It is. It's the fifth and final book in the series.
And what made you decide that this was the fifth and final?
It felt like it was the end. It's funny because when I wrote Hardwired, I wasn't even sure that it was going to be a series until I got towards the end of the book.
Right.
And I realized I couldn't wrap it up in one book. So I thought at that point I'd go to three.
Yeah.
Once I got to book two, I realized I needed to go to five. But that's 5 was the end. It felt conclusive at that point.
Right, because someday you're, okay, it's time for number 125. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. I assume that you're working on something else at this point, or I mean, you're a busy person as it is, but are you looking to the future with something?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy writing. I've always got a story in my head, so I've been busy with the Hard Love release, and a lot of my focus has been on that, but I am in the very early stages of writing a standalone, so details on that forthcoming.
Hey, if I were HBO, I would make this a series.
I wish you were HBO, and we would make it a series.
Well, I wish I was, too, and I don't know anybody there, but maybe that'll give somebody an idea. I really don't know. So how do you balance writing a book, which is quite involved, and then running a career and a family, and you're only like 10 years old, right?
Well, I'm 33.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but you know, you just do what you can. You prioritize day by day, and sometimes you have to let things fall to the wayside, and you know, carve out family time.
Yeah,
you do the best you can.
Let me ask you a quick question about writing, because I always find writing fascinating. Because writing to me is a discipline. If you have no discipline, you can't do this. Is there a certain spot that you go to create? I know that ideas pop in your head all the time, but when you actually sit down and do it, is there a particular spot that you go to?
Well, I mean, I have an office that's sort of my command center, so that's where I do a lot of my writing, but I'm also on my laptop, you know, anywhere.
So it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I know most successful authors, they come up with characters, and the characters write the books for them.
Yeah, I think in a way, I think it took me a little bit of time to get to know Blake and Erica with the first book, but definitely, you know, a little bit into the story, they started telling me what was going to happen, so it's a neat experience.
Yeah. So the entire series, there's 5 books involved. Hard Love is the most recent, and where do we find them all?
So you can find all of the information on my books at meredithwild.com. Mm-hmm. I have excerpts, teasers, and bylinks.
Wonderful. And congratulations about being on the New York Times bestselling author list, which is pretty heavy.
Thanks.
For number one. Great. What an achievement. Wonderful. And website that we can follow the adventures of Meredith Wild?
Yep, meredithwild.com.
Oh, you got that domain, huh?
Yeah. That's the first thing you got to do.
It really, and quickly, because there's got to be someone else named Meredith Wild somewhere who thought of doing a website. So, all right. Hey, it's fun talking to you. Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to your latest, your next work, actually.
All right. Thanks for having me, Ron.
Thanks, Meredith. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Meredith. Bye, Meredith. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Meredith. Thanks for flying. Bye-bye, Meredith. You know, I've written a few books in my time. I wrote a book called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle about the crazy things that happen at weddings, the real stories behind the scenes. Wildly popular for about 10 minutes. And I also, with comedian and writer John Shanahan, wrote a play called My Bowels Shall Move, which was very, very popular and was on Broadway. Well, actually, I was on Broadway. I walked down Broadway when I was in New York, and so I could say I was on Broadway. Actually, I was on Broadway in 57th. But anyway, John and myself wrote a play called My Bowels Shall Move, which was a cult hit. It was actually really something. Would you like to hear a passage from that play that John and I wrote? This is from My Bowels Shall Move.
This is an excerpt from the new novel, My Bowels Shall Move, by Ron Van Dam and John Shanahan, read by Mr. Shanahan. Lydia considered the bowl on the table. It was deep green, ceramic, glinting slightly in the cool morning light coming in through the kitchen window. Inside were small brown pellets, flecked with something also brown and a little green. What is it? She asked. Tom smiled. She loved that smile. It was reassuring but not condescending, and in it was the remnant glow of their passionate lovemaking from the night before. It's called All Bran, he said, really packed with fiber. He shrugged. Doesn't taste all that great, but this isn't just about taste, Lydia. I understand, she said. He sat across from her and pulled the bowl a little toward him. His deep brown eyes were still cloudy with sleep. See, I've also sprinkled it with some flaxseed. You won't even taste it, but it will do a lot of the work. Plus, your apple juice has psyllium husk in it, in case you wondered why it might have tasted a little grainy. That stuff's the real deal. Tom, are you sure? She began, but his smile stopped her. She loved that smile. Listen to me, Lydia. I've been eating like this for a long time, even before we met. I don't tell people about it much. It's not the sort of thing you bring up in conversation. But when someone you care about is having, well, these kinds of issues... Oh, Tom, she burst out. Don't say it like that. It sounds like I have some kind of psychological problem. I don't have issues. I'm... Go on, Tom said. You can say it, Lydia. You can say it to me. Her voice was a small, weak whisper, but she needed to speak the words, to give herself the strength of truth. I am constipated, she said. This has been an excerpt from the new novel My Bowels Shall Move by Ron Van Dam and John Shanahan, available spring 2015.
Oh my God. That, every time I hear that, it moves me. It's a coming of age when the admission that one has constipation basically is revealed. It's freeing, and nothing moves a person more than that subject matter. John and I wrote that book back in 2014, and it did become a play on Broadway in the spring of 2015. And as a result, both John and I are independently wealthy and have 5 jets. Well, John has 3 jets. I have 2. He's 1 jet up on me. But we owe it all to constipation. And I owe this program all to you. You fine, fat people who listen to this program called Ugh every single weekday. Please make it a habit just because it's the right thing to do. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you very much. You're very kind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're very kind. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Your applause is overwhelming. Your response is overwhelming. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Would you like me to do an encore?
Whatever.